Well, I think probably two challenges. One has been, of course, mainly South Sudan and Central African Republic, which were countries that were facing conflict and a lot of problems. But we are coming towards the end of the year. The AU was able to stabilize Central African Republic through its men and women who were on the ground there. And we eventually handed over to the United Nations on the 15th of September. And with South Sudan, we're trying to get that country to keep to the ceasefire, but also to look forward into how they're going to deal with their issues together and take the country forward. That's on the peace and security issues. But on the other areas, the most challenging has been the Ebola outbreak in the three countries. It's been challenging because of the way it has turned out, the magnitude, the length of time it has taken, and the fact that it was in fragile states and it was in countries that had never seen Ebola before. But more importantly, that it's an epidemic that needs people to change their traditional practices, things that are very entrenched and very central to their social cohesion. And also, it's an epidemic that needs people to change how they relate. When you see your child vomiting or bleeding, the first thing is to pick her up and clean her and try and do something about it. And yet, in Ebola, you need to act differently. So this has been very challenging. And the fact that they lost a lot of health workers, especially at the beginning of the epidemic, because they didn't know what they were dealing with. And therefore, a lot of them even treated Ebola patients without protective clothing because they didn't know what it was they were dealing with. But that challenge we have decided to turn into an opportunity. As the AU, it's not our core business to deal with epidemics, but we decided that we are going to show our solidarity and unity with the three countries by mobilizing men and women to go to these countries, health workers to go and strengthen the human resources of these countries. And it has been an opportunity to see how much solidarity there is amongst and between our countries and our peoples. And indeed, we have seen it. We now have more around 500 health workers in these three countries. And in the next 4 weeks, we hope to escalate that to more than 1,000. And that has come from individuals who have volunteered, but also governments who have given us these health workers. We also have turned it into an opportunity to work with our business people who have been generous to give us resources so that we can be able to look after these health workers instead of burdening the countries that are already very stretched. And it's also given us an opportunity to galvanize individual African citizens to donate to the fight against Ebola. We worked with the network operators, cell phone network operators, and country regulators, and I'm very happy to say 15 countries are now on board on this SMS campaign for citizens to contribute. So though it's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity for Africans to show their solidarity and to make a contribution to this big challenge of Ebola. Of course, it's been a year of agriculture. We've had various activities and plans to improve our agricultural productivity in the coming years. And we have decided that next year, as we adopt our Agenda 2063, we will also dedicate that year to women and see how women can be integrated in all the work of Agenda 2063.
Before I ask you any questions about Agenda 2063, let me just come back to the Ebola crisis and ask you about the Centers for Disease Control that you started working on with the United States government. Has there been any progress made in as far as that is concerned?
Yes, there is progress, and that progress will be reported to the summit, and then they will decide whether we go forward. But as you know, it's a decision that had been taken, but before the Ebola outbreak, but now it needs to be accelerated because of the Ebola outbreak. So there's been plans made, and those plans are going to be given to the heads of state, and then we'll see what they say and then take it from there. But we are working on it and accelerating its establishment.
Are you still calling for African experts who are scattered around the globe to come in and assist in terms of the Ebola crisis for those who have not yet responded?
Well, I think it would be great if they can, or even if they don't come personally to work in these countries, if they can do the same as the African citizens are doing, who are contributing to the Ebola fund that has been established to actually assist and look after health workers in those countries. So I think Africans who are outside, if they are able to come and give their services, it will be good. But if not, they can contribute to the fight themselves by contributing to the Ebola Fund.
Looking at all the effort, all the work that has been put in by the African Union, the Commission, and all, you know, the other African countries, do you think much progress has been made? Okay, will you be able to build on what you have seen, what you spoke about earlier on, about that solidarity that you saw within most African nations? Will you be able to build on it for other issues that are not necessarily Ebola?
I think so. I think we will be able to do that. We've been doing that on issues of peace and security. We are able to mobilize and send men and women to those countries who need help. And I think now we will be building on looking at disasters or emergencies, tragedies like we have seen with Ebola. I think once the Ebola outbreak is over, we'll be able to build on it. As you know, we are establishing an AU foundation. And of course, when Ebola is over, we will then be raising funds for the AU foundation to do a lot more things. For instance, for skills, it would be good to ensure that we can assist these countries to develop and to work on their skills. On their human resources, since they lost a lot of them, and many other things to deal with issues of diversity, integration. So, yes, we will be building on it.
Going back to Agenda 2063, you are going to dedicate next year, 2015, to women in Africa. Can you just enunciate on that? Why are you choosing to dedicate Agenda 2063 and next year in particular as the year of women?
Well, first, next year is very significant for women globally. It was 20 years ago, in 1995, that women from all over the world gathered in Beijing and put a platform for action. And I think 20 years on, it's a good time to assess and evaluate what progress has been made since Beijing. Also for the continent dedicated 2010 to 2020 as the decade of African women, and next year will be halfway through that decade. So it will be important to also take stock of what has happened during the first 5 years of that decade, and to plan on how we can do more in the last 5 years. And of course, as we adopt Agenda 2063. Agenda 2063 has to unleash the potential of both women and youth. And it has to be that potential that we add to the potential of men who have been driving issues on the continent all along. That now we have a force of youth, a force of women to add to that potential and drive Agenda 2063. So for all those reasons, it was important to dedicate next year to women.
From what we have seen politically in countries like Malawi, Zimbabwe, where people were looking forward to having women leaders in one way or the other, people are saying they've been major losses in terms of what they've seen in Joyce Banda, in Joyce Mujuru. What can the AU Commission do in trying to strengthen the position of women to ensure that we have more women leaders in Africa?
Yes, one of the things that we have to look at is strengthening women who want to get into politics, to assist them, to build their capacity, but also not to look at one woman in a country, but to look at women at all levels, women in the municipality. The lives of Africans are affected so much at the municipal level. So we need to have women there at the coalface at the municipal level. We need to have women at the national level, where there are provinces and counties. We need to have women at those levels. So we have to build the capacity of women, not just one woman, because one swallow does not break the summer. It's nice to have a woman president. It's nice to have a woman vice president. And we should try and strive for that, but more importantly, to bring a lot more women so that indeed there can be a critical mass of women, even to influence getting women at the top.
Do you have any programs that you want to implement or are already implementing in terms of the youth, young women in Africa who will, grow up in this system knowing that, they are being nurtured to become leaders of tomorrow?
Yes, we do have programs, though we are limited by resources, but we do have programs, not only just in politics, but we are also looking at women in science, technology, engineering, maths, in that area, because it's going to be very important to have young women in those areas, because that's the area for the future. And so we can't leave women out of that area. We are also developing women and having programs for women in agriculture to assist them to improve their productivity, to have access to technology, access to financial assistance. So we have programs there. We also have programs for women coming out of conflict. But we also have women programs for women who want to be in leadership in politics and elsewhere. And it's important to have a critical mass of women in politics, especially in parliament, because the laws that come out of parliament must speak to both men and women, whether it's laws about land. We've seen some countries have been able to reform their land laws to include women owning land and not only men, and to also assisting women in accessing training and technology in agriculture. So we do have programs in a variety of areas. It's not enough, but we are encouraging member states also to have those programs so that we can expand the pool of women who are in leadership in all areas, even in the universities. If you have a lot of women lecturers, women will have role models and see, and also those lecturers will be more sensitive to the needs of women at university and beyond. So the programs, we have to make them broader rather than just in one area.